Everybody, welcome to Spocast. I'm Johnny Cashmere, alone at the moment, but about to bring people in here. We are on season 2, episode 11, The Acid Reflux. What's up, Tommy? How's it going, brother?
What up, bro? How you doing?
Good, man. Have had better days, have had worse days, but I'll tell you this, we're going to make it a fun day. We're not going to make it negative. We're not going to make it a candlelight vigil in the sad sense. We're going to make it a celebration. We're going to enjoy it because when coincidences happen and our founding member, Trent Acid, passed away on this day, we don't ignore it. So what's up, JP? How you doing, brother?
What up?
Nice.
We out here.
Trent's probably looking for it, brother. You got to do the double bicep.
Oh, ready. Boom. Boom, as my boys say, firepower.
Firepower. I'll cheers a fago to that.
What's up? What's up? All right. Skills in the house. RIP Trent. Thank you, Skills, my brother.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. And it looks like, do we have anyone else? I think. Okay. Donnie is running a little late tonight, but he will be here. And Phil is also on the road, but he will be here. I think he just tried to pop on from his car again, which.
We had Phil for a sec, and then we lost him. So, Phil, whenever you get ready, man, we got you.
Yeah. No more car trips. But so, guys, so we got a lot to talk about tonight. I promised the biggest announcement in the history of Spo Wrestling, which is kind of funny when you think Spo Wrestling was announced in November of last year. But, hey, it still counts. It's a history. And it's definitely the biggest announcement. So once we get Donnie and Phil and everyone on here and once we've done a little business, I say we are going to go ahead and make that big announcement. So,
hell yeah.
Glad to have you guys here for it. And maybe we're going to have some people drop in unexpectedly. I told a few people that we're just going to be here chilling, remembering Trent. It's going to be a, you know, less formatted show than usual. We're not on here trying to push the next event hard, and we're not announcing new matches or anything. We're just sort of taking a break and saying, okay, let's remember the important things in life. Let's stop and what do they say? Smell the roses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, right. Guys, why don't we? Usually, we at the end we talk about where we're going to be. Why don't we talk about where we're going to be? Because we actually have a pretty damn big weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off Friday in Greektown, and that's this. That's us versus Big Bill Collier. You heard that right. Us three men against Big Bill Collier for that cup. And guys, you know what? I'm going to tell Bill right now and Greektown Wrestling right now. What would the Backseat Boys do with that cup if we got it on the road?
Oh, I think I'm going to start first. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the nearest local pub. I'm going to fill that bad boy up, and I'm going to chug, chug, chug. And then we off to the races.
Nice. Now, see, that's good. But then afterwards, when we're driving in the car and we can't stop to pee because there's no rest area.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? We're going to have to do one, and you know, straight out of, the backseat book. We're going to have to, you know, do an acid reflux.
Right, I guess it's got to come out. I guess it's got to come out either way. But anyway, we're taking that Greektown Cup from Big Bill. B-I-L-L.
Celebrating.
You know, normally when you get your check after a meal and the waiter, they bring you your bill. I'm going to say no. This is my bill, and it's going to be the trophy, the Greektown Cup.
Oh,
it's good.
Nice. And that Greektown has a show Thursday and then Friday.
That's right.
So Thursday, they have Tommy Dreamer. Friday, they have EC3. They have Speedball Bailey. They have Darren McCarty. They have Sonny Kiss. And, of course, Channing Decker. And by the way, guys, I don't know if you know or not, Channing Decker successfully defended the SPO title in Canada this past weekend.
Wow.
That's right. With the gold belt and the tannish, you know, the tannish.
He got some overall. New drip I saw. I did see a clip of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, I didn't even know it was him. When I saw it, I was like, who is this in this video? That like, why is Decker posting for some other guy? And then his face was revealed and it was him in a new pair of slacks.
He got some new drip. And he hit the, what does he call it? The upper decker. He hit the upper decker through some table with some light tubes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went hardcore. He went hardcore.
See, it's a hardcore fed. That's why he wanted to defend the SPO title because I guess, you know, us, well, you know, listen, we all have such heart, you know.
We got to give credit where credit is due. He did represent SPO, you know, internationally, and he won. He got the W.
He did.
He held it down. He represented the High Five. The High Five is officially an international stable. Good job, Decker.
I can't take that away from him.
No, he did good. He did good. Now, we'll ask Donnie when he gets here if we can officially call our title a world title or if we're still marks to do that. We'll see. We'll ask him.
I think given, you know, the coincidence of, you know, the day and the significance, obviously, you know, Johnny, I think that we're due a mark for that one.
You think so?
I think so.
Merrick, you got to do the sound with it too. Merrick, see, we used to call it the sound, by the way, the sound, and here's a good Trent story for everyone. The sound, Merrick, is what we used to call stepping on a penguin. Because that's the sound a penguin would make if you stepped on it, right? It would go, Merrick, right? So that's what we used to do. We'd go stepping on a penguin, and then we'd go, Merrick. Like that.
Mark.
And now it's hanging up in HC Lokes Wrestling Academy. This, what do you call it? A meme? A GIF? What do you call it?
That's a meme.
A meme?
It would be, yeah, a GIF. So a GIF, or a GIF as it's pronounced, is, you know, 1 to 2, you know, moving images. That right there would just be a standard meme.
Oh, I see. You know what would even be funnier is explaining that to Trent Acid.
He'd probably just call me a Mark.
Not only that, he'd have no frame of reference of what a dot anything is.
You guys were doing memes GIF before it was called a meme in a way.
Right.
You know, yeah. It took a little bit of a time to, you know.
Yeah. You guys
call something.
Right. You guys were adept to the internet culture and like what one would consider, you know, like
the
internet
troll era.
Yeah. You just like
the message
just,
boards.
That was just every day for you guys. That's just everyday life for you guys. You know, nowadays it's like you're considered like an edgelord if that's what you do or something like that. But, you know, especially to, you know, to two guys, you know, from South Jersey and South Philly, it's like, you know, that's your outlook on life, you know, calling people Marks.
Marks. And so speaking of Mark,
the Legends Point while doing it.
That, so you do a Legends Point, you piss off John McChesney at the same time, two birds at one point. But so I'm looking here at who jumped in on Instagram. Speaking of Marks, Wild Thing Ziggy Danger, Cedric Barr. Holy shit, that's Flash Wheeler. Damn, Flash. I'm so bad, but I would love to have you come on and talk about Trent if I could get you, if I could figure out how to send you the link. I Hate Artists is here.
What up, bro?
Trevor Terry's here. BJ Drinks Beer. What's up, brother? Danger Ross is here. All right, we got some good heads up in there. All right.
Right. Representing.
So shouts that's out to the, so that's so. So let me get back to Bill. I wait a minute. I'm not done on Bill yet. I got to talk about Bill. I'm going to go into
B-I-L-L Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to go into mode here for a minute, Bill. Look at me, brother. All right. Yeah, you have size. You were given size. That was birth. You didn't do anything to earn that. There's no special skill called size. You didn't have to pay dues for your size. What I have is brains. And some could say that's something I've had forever. Maybe I have, but I've sharpened it a lot. And the bigger they are, the less brains they have. And you could say, well, the bigger the brain you have, the smaller you are. Well, that's why there's three of us, Bill. That's why you're not just taking on me. That's why you're taking on the entire backseat collective. And if that's something that you want to shake a stick at, if you think picking up three men and throwing them over your head was so much fun that you have to do it again, we're here to tell you, nah.
You're a mark.
That's it. Bill, you're a mark. Done.
That's right. Anyway. And we're taking your trophy.
Yeah. That being said, introduce me after the lunacy. Anyway, speaking of lunacy, get on to Saturday, guys. We got some
whoop whoop,
bada bingo, right there in Detroit, Harpo's Concert Theater. Everyone and their mother will be there. It's official. Here it is. That's Violent J, the commissioner, will be there.
The Duke,
the Backseat Boys will be there. Look at that picture of us, man. Hell yeah. God.
Mm-hmm. Look at that tan on Johnny Cashmere and the vascularity on the chest. Man.
Look at the definition, the vascularity. I mean, the total package.
Just someone call him Flex Luger over there.
Yeah. Speaking of total package.
Oh, man.
The man whose thighs are as big as my torso, Simon Gotch, will also be there.
The homie.
And, of course, Heather Reckless versus Christina Marie. This is going to be awesome this week. I'm so excited. And look at the cool-ass write-up they gave us. Like, whoever does their social media, we need to talk to them. Like, we're going to read this, and let's do this in Violent J voice, guys. You want me to start? What in the wicked fucking world?
I can't see it from here with my eyes.
Or the Backseat Boys going to do in JCW on Saturday, June 22nd. Get ready for an electrifying show as these wrestling personalities bring their unparalleled energy and high-flying action to the ring. Expect jaw-dropping moves, intense rivalries, and the kind of hardcore wrestling that only JCW can deliver. The Backseat Boys are set to take the crowd on a wild ride, leaving everyone at the edge of their seats and hungry for more.
Mm-hmm. As like, a total representing facts, but as a total guilty mark who literally their entire dream was to, you know, be down with the clowns IRL and wrestle for JCW one day. This is surreal to me, you know, and it just so happens that, you know, Trent's last match was against Too Tough Tony in Philly, by the way. So keep those things in mind. Keep Trent Acid in mind. Keep Too Tough Tony in mind. Keep Philly in mind, you know, because this is all going to be a recurring theme in Backseat, you know, storytelling here.
Yeah. And when you say Philly, you mean Philly Stamper, right?
That's right. I was just thinking of that. What up, Phil?
The Philly special.
Phil, you've tricked
your mic ain't on.
Oh, great. First of all, he somehow used CGI to make us think he's not driving in his car at the moment.
Is that the Philmobile or is that the studio?
So we have no audio, Phil. We have no audio, but your facial expressions are money. So for right now, you can just be facial expression guy and I won't hate you. So we were talking about JCW Lunacy real quick reading this write-up that they did. And the write-up, like, I wonder if, do you think there's like an AI that you can type into, like, yo, the Backseat Boys are coming to, and then get, because that was too perfectly written to been a human. I think
it could have been something like ChatGPT. If like,
yeah,
Juggalo AI. Like
that. I'm not using that against them. I'm not saying they did, but if that is, I mean, that's a great write up.
Nah, it's Juggalo AI, which all it comes down to, in the words of Violent J, it's purely speculation, but also factulation.
And speaking of the words of Violent J, he was on last week. Thank you to him for coming by. We had some technical difficulties, so he wasn't able to finish what he was saying. He actually was going to go on. Some things changed where they're doing 25 less shows on the tour, and they've sort of rearranged some things to optimize performance and shows. So check all that out. He's going to have some announcements coming soon, and we'll try to get him back here if possible. But he's got a super busy weekend coming up this weekend. Plus, he was just in Tijuana. Plus, we're not even going to talk about squatching in Texas. So,
yeah. No comment right now.
Dude's busy. So, speaking of no comment, Phil still can't hear us, right?
I think he could hear us.
We can't hear him.
Huh. Let's get a check 1-2 from Phil.
I don't know if I hate this arrangement, guys.
No.
I can deal.
The president is on mute.
This is like perfect like reaction humor. This is like the you can't plan this. Just not I love working. It.
Sorry, the president can't answer right now.
Wait a minute. I think I heard something.
So real quick, I heard something. You sound really far away, but I can hear you.
You're really low.
Yeah, real low. Well, while he's doing that. Guys, I want to talk to you really quick about the training school I'm a part of now. So I train, my night to train is Wednesday, and this Wednesday will be my first night as trainer. But they're also open Mondays and Thursdays, and I go most Mondays and Thursdays just to train. But it's Primal Fear are the head trainers there. And last night,
how was this?
Now I hear you.
Yay! Awesome.
Awesome. Last night, check this out, Phil. Look at this setup they have for promo pictures.
That's nice.
So everyone at the school had to do promo pictures and then promos, like, you know, speaking to, and then they did these action shots, and it was just
nice.
I learned a lot last night. Tim Dynamite ran a sick sick promo class, and I really loved it. And I'm excited to call that school my new place of business. So anyone that wants to come down on Wednesdays, get in touch with me, and I'll get you started, because it's a great place right there in Gloucester, New Jersey, right where we're going to run our event. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Phil, what's up? Why are you late?
Got caught up at the office job on my way out the door, and then DC traffic is DC traffic. So damn, I think I counted 5 accidents in less than a mile on 95.
Wow. Well, like I said, President, I believe not a word. But anyway,
that's normal. That's John. You've just defined our relationship.
Exactly. How was your week, Phil? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Things are going well. I have a week and one day until my surgery, so it's been a lot of getting the house ready for everything. Wrestling Revolver is this coming Saturday, so getting ready for that. Iowa, so a lot of stuff is happening and moving.
Good. We're going to talk about Trenacid. We're gonna tell some funny stories. If you have any, feel free. We're going to do that in a little bit. Donnie's running a little bit late, too. He will be here soon. So we just talked about what's coming up this weekend, which is Greektown Wrestling and JCW. Okay, so, but also on the horizon, they just announced a new match. I'm actually going to be wrestling Jimmy Lloyd at my student Mike Hamilton's event, Hybrid Wrestling, and that is at Harrah's Racetrack and Casino, Saturday, July 27th at 4 p.m. Now, Jimmy Lloyd, look, I don't really know him, but I'm sick of seeing him on all these match graphics. My God, you can't scroll through Instagram without seeing like Jimmy Lloyd, Marcus Mathers. It's like, all right, guys, we get it. You're wrestling places. Well, I finally get to wrestle this guy. So we'll see what all the fuss is about. I'll make sure to report back.
Please don't be jealous about Jimmy Lloyd. Please don't.
Don't be what?
Don't be jealous about Jimmy Lloyd.
I am jealous about Jimmy.
He calls himself the different fucking boy, Jimmy Lloyd.
The broski.
I'm looking forward to it. I've only heard good things. I'm excited. So we'll see what happens. And next SPO event, Unnecessary in Gloucester. Tickets are now on sale at SPOWrestling.com. We announced the final wave of talent. When the show began tonight, you saw we ran through all the different match graphics. So you see all the different stars that will be appearing. And we already know 2 out of 3 of the death matches. So I just let another cat out of the bag that there's going to be another death match. So you guys, we announced your death match a little bit ago, but we finally announced the first stipulation is first blood. That's just stage one. So from what I understand, one of the 4 of you has to be busted open in order for stage 2 to even begin.
Right. One of the 4 of us. And, you know, as far as drawing stages and making it so that, you know, people would understand this is a death match, you know, we got to go hard or don't go at all. You know, when you say 3 stages of death, you obviously can't make it, you know, soft stipulations or things that, you know, no.
But I like Ratboy's idea, Christmas in July. I should grab some more of those Christmas trees if they're around.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, so that's going to be crazy, guys. I don't envy y'all for being in that, to be honest. But we have a few more SPOcast episodes before the 13th. So next week, we're going to announce another stage. And then I think the week after that, another one. So the next 2 weeks, tune in right here to find out the stages. And next week, I'm pretty sure by the end of SPOcast next week, we're going to know what the 3rd and final death match will be. For July 13th, but all that just seems so minimal when in the presence of one big 80s Donnie B.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
How are you, bro? Good to see you.
I'm all right, man. Busy little day for the kid here.
Yeah. Would you have to that. Anything you can talk about or gag orders?
Nova's in town till Saturday with his daughter.
What?
So, yeah, our kids were just been all the girls, the cousins are all hanging out, just doing some festivities. And one of them, they will remain nameless, had the bright idea to take the kids to Great Adventure today, Six Flags, in 95 degree weather. I wasn't there. I told them from the start, that's a bad idea. But right. My brother Steve and Nova wanted to take them. So the problem with being right, my friends, is that you're always right. And you know, it happens sometimes. More often than not, someone has to look the fool, brother. And it wasn't me. Exactly.
Well, I hope he at least got on Superman.
I don't know what they did. Reports are they went on three rides. They were there for 5 hours and nobody could take the heat anymore. So they left.
Yeah. Well, we did our first Trent Acid story without you, Donnie. Was just very simple. It was just that. What was the Trent Acid story? Jeez, I don't even remember now what I said. Oh, about the penguin, about the marks, when he says marks like that and makes that sound, marks. That sound, when someone asked us, what is that? Why do you do that? Trent's response was, it's stepping on a penguin. He said, if you step on a penguin, that's the sound it would make.
Remember the airport story going to Alaska with the old lady?
I do.
That's one of my favorites. Can I tell it?
Yeah, tell your airport story, and then I have a feeling I'll want to tell you mine after it. But yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, longtime ECW ring announcer Steve DeAngelis was also a hell of a promoter. And Steve was running a couple of events out in Alaska, which were top-notch. Story for another day. But Johnny, Trent, and I were on these events. So we're flying out of, I believe it was LaGuardia, maybe JFK. So we go to the airport, and Johnny and I always had the penchant for at least looking normal walking through an airport. Not outlandish, you know, it wasn't an airport thing where people saw us and like, oh, those are stars or whatever. Just two normal guys with our bags the whole bit. Trent, on the other hand, looked like he had just woken up and been dragged through the streets of Philadelphia. No matter how long I would tell him beforehand, hey, we're heading to the airport. We got to leave at 7, whatever, because I was usually the driver. Be ready. Have all your shit together. We're going to go. He would always look like he had just gotten out of bed and was racing to the finish line. So we're walking through the airport. We're literally boarding our flight. Chris Daniels was on this flight. Deion, just so many people. And there was an elderly woman, probably in her mid-80s. She's in front of me. He knows what I'm about to say. She's right in front of us. So Johnny goes through security to board. I'm next. I turn around and look, and Trent is trying to cut in front of this older woman who just looks at him and goes, ugh. And he looks right at this woman's face and says, what's up, cuz? And I looked at this woman and said, I apologize. He doesn't get out much. And she just looked at him and said, oh my God, how gross. And just walked on the plane. And it was one of the funniest things I had ever heard in my life at that point. Is this semi pseudo British accent that this older woman had when she said, oh my, how gross. Oh my God. It was awesome. And Trent at that point is 2 feet away from this lady, just looking at her. And she just looked at him, gave him like the once over, like, ugh, how droll. It was awesome, bro. And that was to Alaska.
I can't. Leo Connors, so what's up, brother, from New England. Trent was an incredible wrestler who would have been huge. Rest in peace. Thank you, Leo. You're so true. So true. So true. So I have a good Trent story for everybody, Donnie.
Let's
B.
Hear it.
And this is going to shatter this might shatter Donnie's entire paradigm about what he thinks he knows about himself.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Start with that. And I'm probably going to get canceled for this story. So just cancel me now. Get it the hell over with. All right. So it's the same trip. Steven DeAngelis. I don't know if it was Alaska or Trinidad, but we're on the flight. Me, Donnie, Trent. Donnie is sitting at the window in the window. Trent's in the middle. I'm in the aisle. Trent decides, let's do a little bit of GHB.
Oh God.
We had it in a Gatorade bottle. And we had it sitting there between us, and we were just sipping it, just barely doing enough, whatever. Donnie B decides he's got to take a Tylenol or something, reaches for his drink, realizes it's empty and he's got a pill in his mouth, reaches across to Trent and grabs our GHB bottle and takes his pill. Me and Trent were like, we didn't know, we weren't that close with Donnie yet. Like, we literally didn't know what to do. We were just like, watching him and watching each other and then watching him. And then you fell asleep, Donnie. And we were literally checking to make sure you were breathing the entire time.
I remember that. But the funny thing is I don't remember having any ill effects. I don't remember taking. And if I took a swig of something, I can't imagine I would drink out of anything that was in your Trent hands. And number one, it would literally be the smallest amount of liquid
to swallow
a pill.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Here, the impression we, this was you, it was. Like that. we wanted to say no, but then if you had said, well, why can't I drink out of it? What would we have said?
Real loud on the plane. I have GHB in this bottle. Don't drink it. Oh my God. It's great to see that your creator and benefactor could have passed away on the plane. You guys wouldn't have given a shit. Who would have brought you out to the ring, huh?
It would have been all.
What would the charges have been? It was before 9/11, thank God. Or we would have been carted off and that would have been it.
That's true. Would have been Weekend at Bernie's. Like, yep. You guys would have just dragged on.
Yeah, you
could have
Bernie'd me. That would have been over. I'm still waiting for somebody to do that.
So whenever we're on here and Donnie forgets stuff and then says, like, and I didn't even do gimmicks, guys, we can all be like, well, Don.
I love Johnny. Not sure I believe this whole, in its totality. I'm thinking that it was a regular bottle of water and you guys it confused could've. Them.
Well, my memory is the worst, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That. So it wouldn't hold up.
I find it hard to believe that I would have ever drank out of something that was in Trent Acid's hand. Maybe yours, but even then.
Can I just
on
tell
a plane
you,
nonetheless?
Yeah.
This story would not hold up in court anyway, Donnie.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. But real great quick, times, while we're talking about Trent, so the Legends of Wrestling card game last Wednesday put this out. They're there on Facebook, or you can check them out. They also have a website, I believe, and they made the Trent Acid trading card, and they made the Johnny Cashmere trading card, and I did some research, and they had already made a Pitbulls trading card. My trainer's right there, so it's all in the family, and that's a good segue into the new wrestling cause.
Wow.
Of the Pitbulls, and I remember when they came out with those outfits, too, the singlets that you could see through that looked like they were ripped. They were banging. They were awesome. Yeah. So good stuff. We have a big announcement. Big announcement coming tonight, guys. Just want to remind everyone that's very soon. Very soon. Yes, very soon. What were you saying, brother?
I was just, can you go back to those pit bulls, cause?
Sure.
I just wanted to see if by any chance was Gary just as tall as Anthony, or is that just the picture?
If you look at it, Anthony actually does have an inch and a half on Gary in that picture because of the hair.
Right.
But yeah, Anthony had, I think Anthony was 5'11 and Gary might have been 5'9, 5'10. I'm not sure. I have to ask. That's a good question.
I thought there was a big height difference. I didn't realize.
No, not huge. I don't think there was a huge one, but I could be wrong. But yeah, Donnie, check this out, and Phil. Did you see New York City found a great way to spend taxpayer money? Check this out. So what do you guys think about that?
I would put Dewey Donovan's face on that.
I don't believe it until I see it.
I didn't even think about it, that now there's going to be posters on all of them. I'm just going to punch whatever the poster is.
If someone was smart, guerrilla marketing, I'd have a PCW poster on there because you know someone's going to see it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Posters, brother.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, are they teaching people how to properly punch? Like, these old women are going to break their wrists.
No, this is some kind of marketing thing. The real gimmick behind that will come out, like, in a week or so. Who did it? Who was responsible? Those things that get destroyed within the first hour that they were up. Cut open. Yeah,
right.
Ripped apart. Come on.
eBay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Novelty at this point.
Donnie, look at this. There's a Boogie Woogie Brown Tribute Battle Royal August 3rd. At the old St. Matthew's Parish Hall. He's in it in spirit. I'll actually be there. I'm going to try to do it. The old Jim Kettner ECWA is having a one night only. Christopher Daniels will be there. Scoot Andrews will be there. Many of the old heads from ECWA will be there. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Reckless Youth, right?
Reckless Youth will be there. Absolutely.
You know what's cool about most of those guys? They were all good people. Like, I didn't do a ton with Scoot, but he worked on a lot of shows. I did some shows with him. Scoot was cool. I was, like, Reckless. Boogie was cool. Kentner himself was okay, whatever. I mean, we had different philosophies when it came to running shows and stuff and how to present pro wrestling, but it doesn't mean I didn't like him. I like Jim. I have no issue with him.
Oh, of course. We're going to try to get him on here.
Yeah, it would be cool to have him on there. I'd like to talk to Jim and just have him explain the history of his promotion and I think that's lost a lot today. A lot of guys who come around for like one show and then they say, I'm going to take over the world or the country or the state. And they didn't even run a fucking show or anything, or they drew 50 people and then the next Vince McMahon. And then you got a guy like Kentner who's so humble that promoted for 40 years, but you never heard any of that speak. Even me, like I'm not putting myself over. Not once did I ever say I'm the new king, or I just always just told the truth. Like I ran good shows. I had big houses and the proof was in the pudding. Like I said, okay, we're going to sell this out. We're going to sell that out. We're going to have big crowds. And we did. So it'd be cool to have Jim on here.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. They're doing a documentary on him. I'm going to be in it. After the event happens and the documentary comes out, Jim said he will come on to promote it. So
nice. And big ups, guys. By the way, I saw a lot of chatter this week when we had Violent J on last week. He was being mentioned all over the place, dude. And the news kind of broke here. I had a couple of my friends say, hey, man, that was cool. They listened to it. And they're like, I can't. Some friends of mine, not even anything to do with wrestling, were like, holy shit, you had Violent J on your podcast? And I was like, yeah, there were these boys with the backseats and Johnny. And he was cool, man. He was cool as shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Big absolutely. Ups awesome. Spo.
And look, Edge did a weird shout out to you too, Donnie.
Copeland confirms.
Don't know what this is. Copeland confirms Don injury. Like
double or nothing. That was the name of the pay per view we got hurt on.
That was from the cage.
Come on, John. What kind of book are you? Yeah.
How did that never occur to me? Okay, so double or nothing can now be referred to as Don. Got it.
Yes. Don.
I had no idea.
Off the trademark.
That's just wonderful. Isn't that just wonderful?
Oof. Yes.
Oh, unreal. But we have a little game that we want to play, guys.
Actually,
JP thought of this. I like it. Cool little game. So let's play it. It's called the Nitro game. Oh, wait. Let's talk about this first. Belinda, I remember the night the dollar gimmick began. Can't remember the conversation completely, but I remember Trent saying, let's rib Johnny, and you ladies get dollars out down your down. You ladies put dollars down our pants. Your face was brilliant, and he was laughing so hard. I believe it was at Kapow in Kensington. I remember that. I didn't realize, but that is – I always thought it started at the ECW arena. It started in Kensington because Trent was making a joke. Very interesting, Belinda. And I believe her, too. Belinda, she's been around since day one with the backseat. She knows what's up.
That's facts. Shouts out to Belinda. Thank you for that little tidbit. Yeah. But let's get back to this game.
Game. Here we go. What's your Nitro match? Use your day, month of your birthday.
So put it in the chat, everybody.
All right. Type in what your Nitro match is. Who wants to go first?
Johnny, you should go.
Phil lost us, but just wanted you to know he just texted me and said, so I am November 6th, so I am a First Blood match with the Cat. Now, is that Ernest Miller or is that... It can't be Lawler's.
They're all WCW people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's WCW. The cat was WWF.
All right. So
who let this guy in?
I'll go next. All right. Mine is September 7th, so that means I'm in a street fight with Randy Savage, brother.
Whoa.
That's a big main event.
You and Danger Ginger both in with Randy Savage.
Wait a minute, you do day first? Wow. So mine is June 5th. So wait, what is this? The Cat versus Glacier and I Quit.
No, that's right.
I said,
no.
Wait. It's 31 days. So what's your birthday, Donnie?
June 5th.
So you are in a match with Glacier and it's an I Quit match.
Oh, shit. I am? I thought you used day and month.
No, you got to take on Glacier and an I Quit. All you got to do, just carry matches.
Yeah, I feel confident in that.
All right.
Yeah. Wait.
Bring a torch.
2024 version, or can I go like 2001 Donnie B when I had the power of the pencil?
And the Miami Vice.
And the Miami Vice.
And hot finishes. Circa 2000. I was probably using the spear at that point. Maybe the Donnie kick.
Yeah, you were.
What was Phil's? Phil, what's yours?
Can you bring back up really quick?
Hold on.
Tables match, and then I lost it on the date with DDP.
A tables match with DDP. Didn't we book that in PW?
I feel like we should have.
And I'm February 16th, so I got a submission match with Chris Benoit.
Oh, nice knowing you.
Yep.
Good Lord.
I'll send you a kite. And Trent will be watching Spo from the heavens.
Just start. Come over, and we'll just start putting imprints on your back now. Yep. Oh my goodness!
I love
Donnie that, is using the pencil. He should face Pillman. Yeah. Well, how about not Pillman? What about Kevin Sullivan? That would be the good one. Kevin Sullivan versus Donnie B in a pencil on a pole match, brother.
I love it.
I'll take it.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Throw in swerve and throw in Russo, bro.
So guys, it's time to do our announcement. We got some time, that way we can talk about it afterwards. Everyone out there, I just want to thank everyone for paying attention thus far. I'm going to share this. This was inspired. I hope you all liked it. Philadelphia, guys.
Wow.
Where it all started. Full circle. Ouroboros. Snake eating its tail after stepping on a penguin.
This is big, bro. You guys have a real rich history with Philly. So does wrestling, obviously. I don't know too much about the Philly marketplace right now. I know a little bit about it. But if somebody can bring something that's pretty good to that marketplace, the fans will always support it. They always come out for the pro wrestling in Philly. I think the collective or whatever that's what it's called, right? All those shows that was a WrestleMania weekend, like every single one of them was pretty much sold out, right?
Yep.
So they were big. It goes to show there's an appetite for good stuff. So if you guys can bring them an appetite or some good product, I think they'll support it.
Donnie, you know, when we started SPO, we thought it was going to be all about tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our specialty. Yeah. You know, that's the cookie jar our hands in. But you know what? It's become about the OGs. It's become about the guys that all have the what ifs. Guys like me, guys like Rick Blade, guys like GQ. What if? And there's a lot of other history. There's a lot of other what ifs in there too, you know, like that wife beater thing, never quit. You know, that was from I Hate Artists, you know. So Messiah. I tried to put everyone in that video that has been with us thus far on the journey, because Burlington is just a stepping stone. It's just where you start. It's a home base. It's a nest.
Yep.
But Philadelphia, that's the 4-lane highway. And that's where we're going to be king of the road, or else why are we bothering?
Bro. Yeah. I can see it in your eyes right now. I know how much this means to you. And for those of you that don't know, I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. Johnny lives this 24 hours a day, man. Like, this is his kid. This is his baby. And, his heart is in the right place. His head is in the right place. If you guys support him, if you book it, they will come. That has never been truer than what Johnny's doing right now. He's going to bring you all a quality product. I stand behind it. I support it. Give Johnny your support, and he'll continue what these guys are all doing, man. They're doing good wrestling right now, good product to support. And if you could see him, if you're watching us, you could see it in his eyes. I can see right into the man's soul right now that this means the world to him to be back in Philly this fall, and you won't be disappointed.
And to do it with all the new people, with mm-hmm. but yet still the old, like you and the new and the backseat boys. But you know, I think of my old crew, like Trent and Max Mack and Z-Bar and all these guys. that aren't around anymore. And that's the ultimate what if. They're the ones that don't have futures. So it's on guys like us to make our futures shine as bright as possible to make up for the futures they didn't get to have. And if we can do that in SPO, we can, as a group, then great. But it's not about any one person. It's about the whole group. And to bring the entire group of SPO into Philadelphia, Philly's not seen anything like it. Let me tell you something. Philly is a fickle mistress, but one I've learned how to please years ago. Keep that in mind. Backseats,
I would even go as far as to say some of your biggest success was in Philly. That whole area, man. So, I mean, if you can somehow bottle the mystique of years ago and sprinkle a little bit of today's stuff on it, today's sauce onto that special sauce there, I think you might have something real special, bro. I honestly do. And I think, like I said, the fans will come out and support it. Every ECW show you ever saw, they were all there. Even all the stuff today, the fans will come out in droves and support it. They're not there for a long time. They're there for a good time. So yep. I think you can bring them that.
Well, anyone that's paying attention, you see a trajectory now. You see what Burlington was. It was an incubator. Burlington was our nest. And guys like Donnie B helped us. Guys like Zandig helped us. Guys like HC Loke helped us. So many people gave of their time and energy and drove really far, not asking for anything, just to help build, just to help us build our vision. And now it's finally, the training wheels are off. We have Uneffing Necessary coming up on July 13th, and we're going to show the world what hardcore means for real, for real. And then we go into the most hardcore city in the world this September, this fall. Much more on that to come. So please, if there was ever a season to stick with SPO, it's right now. It's the season of death, and it's upon us.
You guys have already done so much more than some of these other clowns, like I said, and I won't call anybody out by name, but there's so many promotions out there that come around, they promise you the world, they do one show, you never hear from them again. Or they ballyhoo how great they are, and then they lose $20,000 on a show and you never hear from them again. You guys have been around now for well over a year. You've done some great shows, had some terrific talent, a mix of old and new. I love everything you guys are doing. You're doing it smart. You built it brick by brick. And I'm telling you, man, I honestly think if you line up everything in a row, like I think you're going to, I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised in September at your Philly debut.
I can't wait. And having you there would mean the world too, Donnie. So try to make that.
Never know.
Even if it's live via satellite or closed circuit television at the Philadelphia Spectrum, brother, we're going to get you there.
If you guys debut in Philly and I can make it, I'll tell you on this show right now, I will be there.
Okay.
To support you fully. If we can get everything, you know, just with my schedule and the family and stuff, obviously. But if we can get it enough in advance and we don't have cheer or anything like that's going on, you guys mean the world to me. I would be there to support you in your finest hour.
Thank you. And thank you. Just real quick, looking in the Instagram, Sunny Kiss was in here. Unsanctioned match with Scott Steiner, she said.
Wow. Wow.
That I would pay to see. We may have to get Mammoth to do that on his TikTok stream.
What a match. And then, my money's on Sunny Kiss, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Sunny. Absolutely. But Donnie, Flash Wheeler's in here, and he said, Donnie B, oh shiz, he called me buckwheat for ISPW. I don't know what that means. Called my buckwheat for ISPW. I don't know. He's having trouble typing. But anyway, he was saying, hey, Donnie B, and how great it is, and it's Birdie's Day. And I was telling him if I could figure out how to get him on here, I'd love to hear him tell some stories because he knew Trent.
I always thought he was pretty nice. I mean, I don't know. I don't really think he went, like, super far in the business. He was a good hand, though. Right, like an 90s, yeah. Flash, he was a good hand. He was great.
Yeah.
I never had to worry about him when I booked him. Or he was on Dennis shows and stuff. I never had to say to myself, "Oh shit, I got to worry about this match." He was always good. I thought Flash was very good. Just another guy who, just for whatever reason, the fates just said this is as far as you're going to get, and there's nothing wrong with that. Get bummed out, but I thought he was great.
I got one for you that involves Flash. You're going to love this Birdie story. So I'm the new guy. I'm the young boy. So Trent, Billy Real, and Derek Domino decide that I'm driving them to Bayonne, New Jersey for Jersey All Pro in this brand new car that I had that was like an old used car, but I had just bought it. So I didn't even know if
it was new to them. When you don't have anything, it was new to them.
Yeah. So we go do the show, come back. We get all the way back to Bristol, New Jersey, Bristol, Pennsylvania on 95. My car breaks down. We're on the side of the highway of Route 95. We have to climb a 6-foot fence to get into a housing development. I had to push Derek Domino by his ass to get him over this fence at 2 a.m. Don't you know we end up in Flash Wheeler's backyard? And he happened to be awake and happened to drive us back at that late hour in the night.
How'd you know it was his house?
I said, we're in Bristol or what? I said, doesn't Flash Wheeler live around here? Yeah, I think he does. I don't even know if we even had cell phones. We had to have. Somehow we get in touch with him. Flash Wheeler saved our lives.
The wow. fact that you were in a car with Trent, Frankie, or Derek Domino, and who else was Harley?
No, Billy Real.
Oh.
I was fetal position in the trunk pretty much.
Who's driving you?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. You're the only one with a valid license, probably.
I was the feral face of the early 2000s.
You were the only one with a license.
Nice.
Like anytime we're on the road and especially like up north and we're just in the middle of nowhere, I always say to John, I'm like, I don't know how you and Trent would just do these crazy car rides without no GPS and use MapQuest or just.
We had to print it out. We had to print out before. Now, listen, before MapQuest is for all the youngins out there, before GPS and all that, you would get the name of the town. The promoter would tell you the town, like, hey, the show's in Erie or whatever. And they give you a general idea of the name of the building. So you would have to, years ago, AAA, if you had certain trips, you could request from them a map, the old paper map that you'd open up, and they would map out the route for you with like a line on the map. So if you were going from Pittsburgh to New Jersey, you'd get your AAA map in the mail, and it would have it pinpointed which road to take. So while you were driving, the co-pilot would open the map and say, oh, 2 miles up, make the right on 78 or whatever it was. But when MapQuest came out, when the internet in the infancy, you would put the address in there and you'd print out a piece of paper, would have directions on it. It'd say like 50 miles on Garden State Parkway, then make a right, this and that. So you'd get close enough. And then Johnny, tell me if I'm telling a lie, but we would get into the towns and we would pull in and say, hey, where's the such and such building? And sometimes they'd go, what? And then you'd say, where's the whatever center, huh? And you'd say, where's the wrestling event tonight? I don't know what you mean. And then you would say, where's the big event tonight? Oh, that's at the Brockman Middle School, whatever. So in these podunk towns, they would just know that it was the big event of the night, and they would point you to it. They didn't give a shit that it was wrestling or where's the NWA. They didn't care about that. They would just know where the big event was. I can't tell you how many times I walked into a gas station and said, where's the big event tonight? And they'd say, oh, 3 blocks up, make a left, go down to the blue house, make a right. It's in back of old man McCaffrey's house. And I go down to the river. You go around the block and it's right there in the brick house. You can't miss it. That kind of shit. That's all true.
Nice.
Yeah. Like hearing these kinds of stories, like that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore. You know, just breaking down, hopping a fence, and it just so happens that you're in your friend's back.
Oh, no, we've...
Ratchet's probe. Ratchet had a Ford probe, brand new, and he was a race car driver. So I'm telling you, every single time we went anywhere with Pete, with Ratchet, he would get pulled over. And he had so many tickets, oh my God, to the point where the one night we were coming home from Virginia, he gets pulled over, the officer comes up, and his uncle at the time was the chief of police of Long Branch. So he says to the officer, my uncle's the chief of police, if that helps. And the officer looks at him and goes, nope. So as he's walking back, he had a radar detector. Pete took it and threw it out into the middle of the highway and was run over by a semi. True story. Me and Nova were in the car. We saw it. Yep. Crazy, man. Jeez.
God.
I was going to say, I think it's mandatory for at least everyone in wrestling to have a car breaking down story of some capacity. And it happened to my brother and I, nonetheless, very early on in our wrestling careers. I won't care to elaborate, but let's just say we got caught, you know, in the ring truck, not in the driver's seat, and the actual drive shaft of the truck proceeded to fall while driver was operating said vehicle. And wow. Let's just say it led to a midnight tow which then led to a long following day of renting a U-Haul and basically doing quadruple the amount of ring crew work in a day's time. Right. So
humbling no beginnings.
Yup. Wouldn't be where I am today without him.
Well, I have another funny Trent Rhodes story. It's actually similar to the one we told earlier, but it was in a car, this one. So it was me, Trent, and Nick Burke driving to a show. And I'm in the back seat. They're in the front. Nick's driving. Trent's in the passenger. Nick always used to dip. He would always do chewing tobacco, and he'd spit it in a little Gatorade bottle. You already probably see where I'm going with this. Trent was drinking something. There was two holes for drinks, and I guess they got them mixed up. And Trent grabbed the wrong bottle and did a bottoms-up swig, and it just went all down his throat. And I've never seen a human being cough and – so we had to pull the car over. It was, me and Nick actually were more disgusted, I think, just thinking about it. And he kept it down. Like, he didn't puke or anything, but he literally drank Nick Burke's dip spit, like literally drank it, had no choice but to swallow and everything.
I'm getting acid reflux just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Johnny, what's your most favorite memory of Trent? It could be in the ring, out of the ring, just something when we are no longer here and we go up to the pearly gates and we get to relive a moment with him, what would yours be? I know what mine is, but what's yours? I have two.
I don't know. Good question. There's a lot to think about. I don't know. I gotta say pass right now.
I can think of two. When we were in the ring in Trinidad and Tobago and you got hit with the chicken in the face and him and I broke down and just were holding each other laughing. And then in Alaska, when we had the snowball fight and him and I were behind the car throwing the snowballs at Daniels up on the third floor. And he said to me, can you believe that 7 days ago, 6 days ago, we were swimming in Trinidad and today we're having a snowball fight in Alaska. And he had such a smile on his face. And I'm just thinking, like, here's this white trashy kind of bum guy from Philly. And here's this know-it-all long-haired guy from Toms River, New Jersey. And we're hiding behind a car having a goddamn snowball fight.
Yeah.
And it just I can still remember the smile on his face, dude. He was just such pure bliss. And we were just having such a good time, man. I can remember, bro, I can feel the cold. Like, I can still remember it. And seeing Ric Fuller at the other car hiding there. Just,
yep.
It was, you remember it, bro.
I'm going to say when we were in Trinidad and C.W. Anderson was kind enough in the water to let us all take backdrops. Remember that? He stood in the water up.
Picture.
He stood in the water up to about his waist or knees and we ran at him one at a time and he just backdropped us one at a time just into the water. That was.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good memory. Real quick, Leo said, what are some of your favorite matches Trent ever had? Which is interesting. He said his favorite, I'm trying to find the actual comment. His favorite are the matches against Homicide and Steve Corino, which are awesome matches. If I had to pick off the top of my head, I would probably pick his match with Ruckus. I think him and Ruckus had an amazing feud. I would say in singles match, it would have to be him and Ruckus. In tag matches, anyone he got in there with was awesome. What about you guys?
Well, I think it's funny you say him and Ruckus because, speaking of Ruckus, we actually, I think we got the man, the myth in the house.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he's working or not. That's why I didn't bring him in yet. I think he's having technical difficulties. But, yeah, Ruckus is one of the few guys that I sent the link and said, if you can stop on and want to say something, please do.
Well, here he is.
Oh, McChesney wants on too. Can someone send McChesney the link? I'll try.
I got McChesney.
What's up, Ruckus?
What's up, son?
What's up, bro? I called your son right in the beginning. I love it.
What up, bro? Good to see you.
Donnie B. What up, son?
What up, Ruckus? Always a big fan, man. I wish we would have done more together, but I was always a fan of yours, bro.
I appreciate it. Feeling's mutual.
Yep. Yeah, man. Ruckus, you had some of the best matches with Trent of all time, man. You guys were awesome together. The chemistry y'all had in the ring was ridiculous. So I, of course, just thought if you want to come on, hang out with us, talk. If you want to share a story, great. No pressure. If you just want to sit here and call me and Donnie son again. I'd love hearing the words come out of your mouth, brother.
Yeah, man. When it comes to Trent, man, he was a man. You can't really say much more about him. You know what I mean? Like, I learned most of the style of that Philly style of wrestling from Trent. So, you know, I was trained to wrestle more Memphis style and everything. And the first time I ever worked with him, you know, he had to teach me that style real quick. So I had to learn it on the fly. And, yeah, man, like anytime I worked with a dude, it was like a night off. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. And you were doing more than anybody back then. Like you say you had to learn stuff on the fly. It didn't show. And believe me, I was someone who was watching. If you would have made a mistake, I'd have probably been the first one to be like, oh, look who's not as good as he thinks he is back then. Because I couldn't do a flip to save my life, Ruckus.
Man, I was, like I said, I was real green when I first got to CZW. And, you know, when Rock and Rubble first helped me get up there, I was, like I said, I was still wrestling the Memphis style. So, yeah, I still did flips and everything, but being from Maryland, they didn't really cut that down. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. And that's another thing. Being in from Maryland, you can't use chairs. You can't bleed. You can't do barbed wire. You can't go outside the ring. You can't use the guardrails. You can't use a table. You were the perfect answer to being successful in Maryland. You didn't have to do any of those things.
No.
And you were still a fireworks show. Are still a fireworks show. So I think that helped you. You know, it's like when baseball batters swing two bats before they get up to bat, then they just swing one. It's lighter.
Yeah.
You know, for you to wrestle and get over in Maryland and then go to a place like Philly where now you're unchained and they say, do whatever the hell you want. That's when you got creative. And that's when you brought in creative people to get more creative, like Sanjay, like Frazier. Am I right?
Yeah, man. All those guys were great. And, you know, Sanjay, me and him, we knew each other from the backyard. So backyard wrestling, I was able to do all types of crazy shit. But once I started doing it professionally, you know, you got to learn the basics and everything.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Ruckus is going to be with us July 13th. He makes his return. Phenomenal match you had with Jordan Oliver. I don't like saying phenomenal match. Obviously, but it was to watch it as a fan. It is thoroughly entertaining. So I definitely suggest going to Spo Wrestling's YouTube and watching it. Without further ado, we have another person on here. John McChesney. What's up, man, brother?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
I'm doing the McChesney quick. Point.
Where is he? Where are you? Are you in a Zamboni?
Don't worry about it. Yeah. I'm in Erie, making sure everybody comes and see you guys in September. How about that?
Hell yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here, bro. Because on the anniversary, any Trent anniversary, I have to show this. Proof that backseats give others flowers.
Oh, he's
we put them together. I don't know why I'm giving Donnie flowers or when. I have no idea why. I don't remember either of these instances.
So I found the pictures earlier that I put on of him and I walking down the aisle. I think that was that vampire's wedding at PWU.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Huh. I forgot the fan. He got married and he had the eyes and the fang and we let him get married at the show. What? And you guys.
Yes. All right.
Listen, I forgot.
He was a vampire. I don't remember that.
Oh, I forgot. Real quick, Ruckus and John, play this game with us. What would your match be from WCW, guys?
Oh, is it if I get to pick somebody?
No, you got. No, what's your birthday?
It's your birthday.
Oh, it's next Wednesday, June 26th. So
you're Billy Kidman in an I Quit match. You got it. Is your match?
I'd probably lose.
That'd probably be a good match.
Yeah. All right.
What about you, Ruckus?
I'm 8:15, so that would be what?
Sorry, I'm in a place I can't
August.
See.
August. Disco and Luger.
Tables with Lex Luger.
Oh, my money's on Ruckus.
Ruckus, you're gonna have to learn to work on the fly again if you work with me.
Prime Luger and Prime Ruckus in a tables match.
I'm going with Ruckus. I'm going with Ruckus.
Always go with Ruckus, guys.
You know what's funny? Always. Real quick, I've only can remember a handful of times ever in the business where I can remember exactly the first time I saw somebody. And for Ruckus, I was standing next to Gabe. It was that Murphy Rec building. And it was, I don't remember the year, but Ruckus was in a match. And I almost literally shit myself and jumped out of my skin when Gabe says, wait till you see what he's going to do. And fucking Ruckus ran up a wall and did a backflip and did a DDT. And I can still remember it. And I looked at Gabe and said, holy shit, that was one of the most things. Because Ruckus was a little heavier and he came out. I'm like, I didn't really know anything about him. And I watched it and I'm like, okay, this is going to be another brawler type guy or whatever. Like, you know. And then he did that and I almost levitated out of my own skin. I couldn't believe it. I was bothering Gabe for like 4 days straight. I'm like, holy shit, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And he just went on to do all this other shit in the match. And I remember telling Gabe and Rob the next day or so, like, bro, this guy is fucking incredible. And all Gabe kept saying was, I know, man. He's incredible, bro. And so that's the first time I can remember ever seeing something. Like, I can specifically remember it, what he was wearing, running up the wall and doing the backflip. It was incredible, dude. I never seen that. To this day, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do it.
No, not like that.
Yeah, no. We came up with that in the backyard. That was crazy.
Unbelievable, bro. That's what separated you from everybody, man. Like, you know, people can try to imitate and shit, but you just went out there and did it. You were authentic. I think that's what your appeal was to everybody. You were authentic. Mm-hmm. You weren't playing a character. You went out there, and Ruckus is Ruckus, man. Like, I was always a big fan, dude.
Yep.
I really appreciate that, bro.
Of course, bro.
Of course.
So glad you're absolutely back. Yep.
You guys, McChesney, Ruckus, I don't want to force you, but if you have any stories on the top of your head about Trent that, or anything that you want to say, by all means say it, but don't feel obligated. We have plenty to talk about.
A little bit of one up in Rochester that it's like bad and good at the same time, but it just shows how truly talented he was. You know, you guys, that's where I met you guys originally, or you and Trent, Johnny. And, you know, we went to, it was called Woody's 2. After parties, which it was Rob Too Sweet from up there used to own it, and it's burned down since, which is a whole independent wrestling thing. I think Ruckus, you may have been there, Ruckus. I know Sabian was there that night, and this is a long time ago. Anyway, everybody was there eating, and all of a sudden Trent was not really with it anymore. He was almost face down in his soup. Pulled him out of the soup. Came over to play darts with him, sitting there. My friend Mario can do this better than I can, but he was not with it at all. And there was two girls playing with him. It was 2-on-2. And I had to poke him in the arm about 10 times to tell him to play. And then he looked up at me, called me a fucking mark. And then he wound up like a baseball player, full-fledged. I mean, as hard, and he fucking gunned this thing at the dartboard and hit it right in the middle of the dartboard. Dead fucking bullseye out of a coma. I don't know. I don't that for some reason at all. I never will.
Oh my God.
I thought he was dead. Jesus. Right. There he was doing things better than anybody else can.
So, yeah. Unreal, man. That's awesome. No, I'm glad you stopped by, John. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And you have your plug your event while you're here real quick. You got a big show coming up.
Oh, yeah, September 7th, you three will be there. I'm sorry. Yeah. September 7th, Kickoff Chaos, Big League Pro Wrestling in Erie, Pennsylvania, an offset of Revenge Pro Wrestling, which is around for you. And I know it's been 14 years, but it's wonderful to be back in your life, Johnny, and the younger guys that I just met recently, because it's, you know, pro wrestling's crazy. And you come and go, and you guys believed in me back then, and I believe in you now, and let's just work together like everybody should.
Hell yeah, brother.
Thank you.
Love you. Right. You know we're showing up, and you know we're showing up ready, so anything, bro, ever.
All right. I'm going to run, because if you see, I'm in this cage.
Yeah. All right. See you. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Back seats are cage masters, speaking of cages. Yeah, so that was cool. So real quick before I want to show this clip of GQ. GQ is also going to be returning July 13th. This is from the ECW Arena in Philly. Check this out real quick.
He's gonna be out of his mind. The kiss.
Oh!
That's it! Someone call 911!
The cash flow!
That was his former partner, Chris Cash, someone that Ruckus mm-hmm. had one of the best feuds ever on the independents mm-hmm. with. But for two tag partners to face each other, it's always going to be a crazy match. Donnie, you remember Back Seats Collide. You had to get between us. When tag team wrestles each other, for some reason, there's a higher expectation on the match. And to see GQ take a cash flow from the stage through a table, belly first, dude's sick.
That's crazy, bro.
That's and a nasty these... move.
Yeah.
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 I can never do that move. Anytime I tried it.
That, like, I figured out the physics. I got to see that again just to see, like,
like, gonna be out of his mind. The cash flow. That's it. Jeez. Someone call 911.
Yeah, and John House on commentary helps too.
The nastiest one, the nastiest one I remember was the one he hit on Sabian or G's at the Cage of Death.
That was crazy.
Insane.
Guys has such an innovative.
Nobody does that. Yeah, nobody does that today.
It's impossible to do. That move is...
That's what I was going to say. Maybe that's why.
It's so innovative. Like, it's something you would see out of a video game.
But yeah, I think it's because Cash was slender and thin and long. So he could sort of like bend down and use gravity maybe. I don't know.
It has to do with leverage.
I didn't know how to take it. He just like, just jump. I'll do the rest. I don't know how he got me over, but he did it.
Yeah. Got it. Amazing. Rick Blade texted. He's... Oh, him and Shorty were about to puke about the Trent Acid drinking Nick Burke's dip spit. But he said his WCW is a street fight with Kevin Nash. He goes, and I'm going over.
He's on vacation. I'd say he's bulked up quite a bit to fight old Nash. But
have you seen Nash lately?
That's all AI.
I don't think it is.
No, he even confirmed it himself. He posted the picture the next day of him like, oh, yeah, this is what AI can do or something like that.
And Nash Nash has a known weakness.
Damn it.
What is it?
Well, you look at Christian and Edge. They got abs.
Oh, yeah, but he had
their planking.
Yeah. No, Nash had like quads that I was like, yeah, right. Like that was too good to be true.
Yeah. Leo Connors used to come down and cater PW events sometimes. Him and Trent were real close. He says, I don't know if it's appropriate, but a great memory with Trent was at every catering Ring of Honor show in Massachusetts. Trent would always bring someone I'd never met. Guys like Jack Evans, Sean the Mick, Teddy Hart was always great. Damn, I miss those days. Oh, so I guess Trent would be like, yo, cuz, come on, I'll get you in line for food.
Yeah, that's exactly what a
free catering. I see. Oh, to smoke, he's saying.
Oh,
that changes everything.
Yup.
Oh my God.
But that's how memories are made, right there.
It is. It really is.
Ruckus, before we got distracted, do you have like a particular favorite memory of you and Trent? I mean, I know you guys, you know, had a whole incident with. I mean, not incident, but you know, you guys went to Italy with Bret Hart and everything. You know, to tell us some stories about Trent, if you don't mind.
I mean, Trent. Everything Trent did was just funny, man. Like, anytime we went overseas or, like, just hung out, he was always doing some funny shit. Like, I remember we went to Japan one time, and he would just be on the train bothering people. Or we were on tour with a vet. Like, he would bother these dudes so much, especially Abdullah the Butcher. He would just sit on the bus and just start throwing stuff at the back of his head. The door would be smoking this fat cigar all the time. And he would just throw something, hit him in the head, act like he was asleep. Abdullah's around with this, like, Abdullah's got this high-pitched voice, and he always know it was Trent. And he comes yelling back there, I'm going to come back there, champ.
What about so Ruckus? I wasn't there, but Trent told me that he Abdullah urinated in the locker room, and Trent made him go clean it up with paper towels.
Dude, Trent would mess with him all the time, bro. It was like, if it wasn't him, it would be Mr. Danger. He would always call him
Matsunaga.
Yeah, he always called him Tight Cheap Danger.
The one man you don't even want to look at.
And he would like Matsunaga would laugh at him all the time. It would just he would always mess with people, and he would be so funny about it, they'd never get mad about it. It was just like
God, that's a good dude, man. That poor big Japan bus. Oh my God, that's over. So, real quick, I want to just show a couple pictures that I meant to show last week. Some randos. This is from this SATs event. This is on the top left. That's Angel from South America, and Santos, and then that's me with Vinny Pacifico.
The kid.
Yep, the kid. Bottom left is Don Montoya. Bottom right's Pat Danger, Pat Dynamite, and
Pat Danger.
Yeah, and look, my hair is getting broccoli head-ish.
Oh man, right? That's a problem.
A little bit, right? Yeah. Not totally, but a little bit. And then Loud East, I wanted to mention tomorrow. So that's today's Tuesday. So Wednesday, you can watch the entire event on their Twitter or on their YouTube. They announced it on their Twitter. And their next event's July 20th at the American Legion in Yonkers. And that's a big deal. And we have all the belief in the world and all the support to give in the world to Reefer and his guys. They run a great show.
Big fans.
And I wanted to show everyone, I may have found my new favorite action figure of all time. You guys can shit on it and tell me why it's not, but what do you think of this? Like, just an aesthetically pleasing Batman.
That shit's fire.
Yeah, I need this.
Looks like it has that alternate head you can pop, you know, so you can actually have the mask. That looks pretty solid. I always like the blue cape and the gray outfit. I always like that one.
I would like to see
more of that kind of suit. I mean, it's mostly just the standard all black or black and gray.
Right.
It's hard to translate in film because people think the Dark Knight, well, it's got to be black and everything. Right. I don't know, aesthetically, I could see why that would be the case, but the blue with the silver does aesthetically look better as an action figure. And
speaking of action figures, when I was out in Mexico, I found this Trent Acid Custom out there at a vintage flea market that had like any figure you can ever imagine from like the 90s and early 2000s, whatever. And I just so happened to stumble across this, and I had to get it because little did I know, about a month after that trip, this whole thing was, you know, getting started. And I was doing my backseat research during that whole trip because I heard some stories about Trent and I think Devin Moore going out there and just having a hell of a time. So it was just crazy. I was at that flea market and saw this, and I was like, that has to be Trent Acid. And just found that pretty cool.
Here's one too. That's a Trent. Same thing, same head. Matt Hardy head.
Just take a Matt Hardy body, something like that.
Test pants.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. And here's some more. We're talking hardcore. That's Jay on the left there, right? Jay Lover's been around forever. From like when I went to that show with Trent and Billy Rio and Derek Domino, these guys were wrestling on it. Low Life Louie. These were the original, the original Rahway guys, not Rahway, Bayonne guys. Great.
Original Doghouse guys. Yeah.
Yep. And this is Low Life Louie's kid. That's little Louie. He's wrestling now. And the Louies, Donnie B, the Louies do a do-si-do from corner to corner. And
It is over. Johnny came to me and was like, the Louies do a do-si-do. And I say, God damn it. I said, humanity's peaked.
Yeah. Like you can't hate them for it. But before we end, Ruckus, I got to tell you, I have this one labeled How to Piss Off John Zandig. Watch this. When DJ put out a thing last year saying, if you're going to bring, you know, for the fans, bring these light tubes, not these other ones. Zandig put out a post with that and going, what the hell is this bullshit? Buy your own damn light tubes if you're a promoter.
Oh, man.
I loved it. But anyway, for July 13th, bring T12s, everyone in the crowd, not T5s or T8s. Sorry, I had to.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But guys, we're going to be wrestling Ruckus, Robbie, and a third member of Blackout coming up in July, July 6th at the arena in Philadelphia. Ruckus, you're going to have to take it easy on us, brother. You ready for that or what?
Shout out to Robbie, also. It's his birthday.
Yes.
Shout out to Robbie. Yeah.
My brother's birthday today. I was going to mention that. Happy birthday, Robbie.
Yeah.
But Ruckus, who's the third member that's going to be with you? Do you know at Battleground?
He's a newer guy. I haven't really done like seen a lot of his stuff yet. He's okay. This will be my first time seeing him at the show.
All right. Would you say he's a weak link out of the three of you?
No, I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna zero in on him.
I mean, he might be a monster. Never know.
I'm gonna take him out, man. That's the one I'm going after. I'll tell you that right now. But that's gonna be good.
I'm looking forward to that match. You know, anytime we've been at the arena so far, you know, it's been a great experience. We've always got a good standing ovation, and the crowds, you know, loved us, gave us ever respect. And as they say, give Johnny his flowers anytime he comes back there. So I think this time, third time's the charm. This is going to be a good one.
No, this is it, man. Ruckus, I don't think you and I have ever been in the ring at the arena before, only in Sewell and stuff.
I think the only time we did anything at the arena was, I guess when you were doing the stuff with us in the match with Trent.
Yeah, it would have had to have been. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I worked Menace, and then that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, what a match that was. Cage of Death 3 was our first Cage of Death at the arena. And if you remember, when you used to go to czwwrestling.com, like the month and a half leading up to that arena event, our first show in Philly, our first show at the arena, the only picture that they used to draw that crowd was the Insane Clown Posse. It just said CZW comes to the arena, and it had the clown posses, and that was the poster. That's it. And and they sold the friggin' place out.
That's insane.
That night was crazy.
Yep.
And Ruckus, you said this is match 150 at the arena for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what? Gonna be insane, man. Oh my gosh. Yep. Yeah. I don't
got the most matches at the arena.
You have the so you'll have the most matches at or you currently I have the arena.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And July 6th is your 150th?
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn. You know what would be awesome? If you pinned a guy like Johnny Cashmere on your 150th. Give it a good shot, brother. I'm going to wear a Donatello turtle shell on my back so you can't pin me in that
match. This is a very special occasion, man.
Well, I think we're pretty much done everything. I mean, there's not much else to talk about. We talked about
great,
Trent.
Great catching up with Ruckus.
Great catching up with Ruckus. You guys, we're going to announce a new stipulation for the three stages. We announced the first stage, and that is First Blood. We're going to announce stage two next week and stage three the week after, everybody. And hope you all have a great week. And Ruckus, nothing but love for you, brother. Earlier, we announced that SPO is going to be headed back into Philly this fall. And I don't know if you saw it, but you were featured prominently, and you're going to be a big part of it. So OGs unite, brother. Coming into the fall. Love having you, man. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, bro.
Thank you, brother.
All right, boss.
All right, man. Peace out.
Peace.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for everything, too. Donnie, thanks for your kind words. Backseat Boys, thanks for always being there. This is going to be a great season coming up. A few more weeks of the Season of Death. Buy your tickets now, fans, for the 13th of July, because you're not going to want to miss the setup for our return to Philly. And I know SPO's never been to Philly, but PW has, CZW has, the Backseat Boys have. Philly's ours, and we're coming to show why.
That's right.
It's going to be fun. See you guys.